Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
So the theme for the month is purpose, power, taking territories through your life assignment. And listen, as you know, you're hearing this thing and all that, spread it. Don't forget to spread it on Facebook. And when I say that, I'm asking you to do that because more people need to hear all this stuff. You get something, tweet it, put it on Facebook, push that hashtag there so that we can track it. So I ask you to do that. Those of you that are very active, if you're not very active on social media, you can get on social media. And you can do that all through the month. When something comes to you like that, put it there, put purpose, power. You are evangelizing. You are spreading the kingdom. You're spreading it. So I want to preach a message. Start with a message. Taking territories through divine positioning. Taking territories through what? Divine positioning. Taking territories through divine positioning. Joshua chapter 1. From verse 1, I want to tell you the anointing of God that is in this church. Now, it's an anointing that is part of the commission that we have. So, everything that we're teaching every month is just a part of the commissioning that God gave us as a church. And if you pay attention, you notice that anointing is working on some people. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people. I say, you. And what? So that's what I'm telling you, that God speaks to one person, but the word is for him, and it's for what? For everybody. So, you and all these people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, there's an assignment that God gave Moses. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Everybody say territory. See, God is marking out territories, right? Okay. So there was the territory. Everybody say territory. Singular. Say territory. Singular. So there's an overall assignment for a territory. But that singular territory, which is the, you know, we're bringing it to kingdom terms right now. That singular territory is now divided into what? Portions and lots. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide. Everybody say divide. As an inheritance, the land which has swore to their fathers to give them. So two words I want you to pay attention to. There was a territory that God was going to give them. And then there was the word divide. The word divide also means allot. Everybody say allot. A lot. I feel the anointing of God this month to distribute territories. Amen. Catch the vision. I feel the anointing of God to distribute territories. To distribute. There's a territory for you. Amen. There's a place where you are supposed to exercise your purpose on the earth. A territory you are supposed to extend the kingdom of God in. Now, if I take my territory and you take your territory, then we will take the territory. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? If everybody takes theirs, then we will take the territory. If you don't take yours, or I don't take mine, and some people take it. We have not taken the territory. Are you listening? Let me show you. In the book of Joshua, that same Joshua, Joshua gave an instruction, and you're going to see later. Now, there were some people who, part of the tribes, it was easier for them to take their territory, right? I have to look it up. I have to read it, you know. I mean, find it in my physical Bible. Amen. Look at verse 13. Verse 12. Let's start from verse 12. He said, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. So they had already gotten theirs, right? But you shall pass before your brethren, armed with your mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of their land, which is what for your God to give them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. So in other words, some of us have already found our purpose. We've already found our place. We're tilling it and expanding it. But God says that, don't rest until your brothers also find their own. Are you listening? Don't rest until they find their own. Go with them and fight with them until they find their own. Listen, I have an anointing upon me, and I have to say it, because if I don't say it, you won't get it. Everybody that is called has a specific anointing. The anointing that is upon me is to position people into their divine place. I started saying it from when I was a young man. When people got around me, their lives starts to turn around. They start thinking seriously, more seriously. They start changing things. They break relationships, or they just move into new things. And then they start doing some things. I have hundreds of people all over right now in different parts that have gotten into their callings just because of association. That's the anointing that I have. Are you listening to me? It's a grace. If your purpose was unclear, or if it is on, you know, like things are disorganized in your life, just spend time with me for some time. In fact, right now I'm seeing the anointing operating in such a way that I find people's purposes in their names. Like, you just talk to me and then I look at your name and then I see what you are called to do in there. It's not natural. You understand? It's supernatural. It's just an anointing. It's not, I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just telling you so that you can take advantage of it. That's what I'm called to do. That's what I'm called to do. And I have testimonies of it all around the world. And I can bring people here from different places that will share. In fact, I got working through my books, I got a letter from somebody 2 weeks ago who read Mission Possible. This person was located in a particular part of Nigeria, and he came across Mission Possible and he wrote me a long letter. He said, I read this book. Now the person is moving his whole family in response and is planting a church somewhere. There was another person who read it, who moved from Nigeria and is right now in Kenya. The person talks to me right as he moved. I moved to what? To Kenya. Just by reading the book. I see, I get it constantly. You know, from different places. Because it's not only in my presence. If you're around me, it's in my books, it's in my words. The only people that will never enjoy it are those who don't take advantage of it. Because whatever you don't value, you can never enjoy. You value it. That's why you got to make sure that you are not too familiar. You get what I'm saying? Because sometimes familiarity will stop you from walking in the anointing. Brother Fred came into this church. He had a vision. He had all that. Come on, what happened to your vision when you came to this church? You know, just come and share it. Come and share it. How did you even come to this church? Tell them.
So I had this vision of gathering pastors together because I have a passion for pastors and leaders, you know, praying for them. So when the vision came, the place I was as in my former church, it wasn't clicking because there were so many rumors that I'm trying to go start up a new church. And it was like, instead of encouraging, it was like putting me down. And I said, you know what? I hate to do this, but I have to leave the church with my family. So at that period, I was praying, Lord, order my footstep to the church that I will submit. Because I believe that the vision that I have, I still have to submit under a local church. As I was praying, it seems nothing was coming forth. But that very day, I don't know what happened to me. I went to the Facebook on a Sunday morning, you know, for the very first time on a Sunday morning, opened up the Facebook and I saw Pastor Lanza posting. He said, delay to obedience is as good as disobedient. And for some reason, I met Pastor Lan at Pastor Bayo's church when he preached about the ego. Separate yourself from the chicken. And I knew right there that this message was for me. That I'm circling myself with chicken. So I have been longing to connect to Pastor Lan, but for some reason, I'm very skeptical. You know, let me take my time. And when that message came, I told my wife, you know what? We're going to City Light. And thank God for a woman that follows. He just said, what do you mean? I just said, let's go. I feel God is talking to me. And we came to City Light. So I remember that very day, Pastor Lan was busy trying to tell the church, meet Pastor Fred. He's coming to the church. Do you have a word? I said, Pastor, I don't have a word. This is my church. And I am glad to say that ever since I joined City Light, my life, my connection, everything Pastor Lan is saying, in fact, I'm receiving it directly. As I stood there right there listening to Pastor Lan, the connection, the emails that I'm having, people looking for me, I keep telling myself, this is because of the connection. Even the barrenness, my wife was crying. She told me it's like 9 years. You can see the age of Nkiru. It wasn't coming forth, but we came to City Light. Fruit of the womb. In fact, I told my wife, we are enough. Chisom and Nkiru, we are done. But it was coming. I have to tell Pastor Lan, please, can you pray that we are done with three? I mean, what he's actually saying, my heart is bleeding because what Pastor Lan is saying is not just making mouth. It's working. I am seeing it. And I really encourage us for us to key to the word that is coming from the altar.
Thank you. There's nothing like, you know, like testimony. Because sometimes people think you're just talking. they think you're just talking. No. I'm not just talking. Do you think I will spend 11 years doing this day by day and we're just joking? I have many things I could be doing. But you know what? I thank God because I'm in connection with you here because there's something God has in store for us. There's a territory to take. I just want you guys to be able to take advantage of the same thing. You know, sometimes when I go outside, some of you that have gone with me outside, and I see the way people take it. And then you come to the church and you see the way people take it. Now that's normal. That's normal. So it's not abnormal. Every pastor, when an external pastor comes to any church, when I go, you know, when I go to another church to preach, people will start telling me, hey, you know, the Lord spoke to me. The pastor will say, I've been telling them all that. You know how anointed Pastor Ezekiel is, right? Very anointed. When I went to preach in his church, I just spent a few minutes, you know, sharing. And of course, when you preach outside, there's an apostolic anointing on you. It's different from pastoral. So I preach and all that. The next day, people added me on Facebook. The next day, I got an email. I want you to be my father. I want to start a church. So, you know, and of course, I'm taught in ministerial ethics. So ministerial ethics tells you that if you go to a place to preach and the people are reaching out to you, they're only reaching out to you because, you know, they want something special, something different. They already have it there. So I just forwarded all the email to Pastor Ezekiel. I said, see what your people are saying. It's like, you know, don't buy them. Some of you don't know that. Some of you that are making calls to Pastor Ezekiel. I thought he would tell me. I said, don't mind them. They don't understand what they have. You know, when he came, a lot of people called him. They talked on something. He told me everything. It's a ministerial covenant. You can't talk to him and I won't know. So I know all of you that call, they talk, and I said, bless them, but don't mind them. It's what I've been telling them. But they need to hear it from an uncle. You know, when an uncle comes to your house, who doesn't live with you? They say, my uncle is better than daddy. Because he always giving me sweets. My kids, they will tell me, daddy, I don't like you, but I like Uncle Joe. You know, I'm just here. It's just one of those things. Amen. Oh, we're having some nice discussion today. Don't you think so? I don't think this is called preaching. Is this preaching? It's a chat. We're having a chat, you know. Amen. So, I want you guys to know that there's an anointing. Someone say there's an anointing. It's helping people. People are getting established in their purpose. Before and after I do. The anointing is helping them to get established in this place. It helped King's Word to get established. It's helping different people. There's a grace to do this thing. But you people are the ones sitting there. There's no way you must not take over a territory. There's no way that you will not rise up in this city and be one of the top 10% or even 1%. There's no way. Listen right now, when they are talking about pastors in this city, and it's not a matter of number of churches, but when they're talking about pastors in this city right now, in the places, you understand, the gate of this city, they mention me, they mention City Light. Mention City Light. I'm just a Nigerian boy that came here. Amen. Bakpachawa boy. But there's a grace. Everybody say there's a grace. Okay. So that's the anointing I feel this month. Just to divide, Moses was, it's like Jesus, you know, Moses had died. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So Jesus died. What did Jesus do? Jesus came to free us from Egypt. He did all those miracles to set us free. Joshua was like the Holy Spirit who comes, what, to lead us into all fruit, right? So the anointing of God is what leads us into our inheritance, into our purpose, like this, like the Spirit of God. When the Lord Jesus was going, after he saved them, he did everything. He said in Matthew 28 verse 20, he says, you know, go ye into all the world and preach the good news to what? Or to disciple all nations. Please, Matthew 28:20, to disciple what? All nations. To disciple all nations. Teach them to observe 19 and 20. Teach them to observe all the things. So Jesus gave a global mission. Someone say a global mission. That had to do with discipling nations, peoples. So this assignment was given to every believer. So you are supposed to disciple a people. Someone say disciple a people. You are supposed, it's the same kind of commission that God gave Abraham. That said, I'll make you a great nation. You are supposed to be an institution. Somebody say amen. Amen. An institution. There is something that you are supposed to do. Pure unity, Mr. and Mrs., whatever it is, the Oja Express. What are you listening to me? You are supposed to use that to influence and take over a territory and extend the kingdom there. That's our commission. Amen. You, I'm talking about you. There's a territory that is for you. But Jesus told them, stay. He says, stay. Don't go do anything yet until Acts 1 verse 8 takes place. He said, but you shall... So Moses, my servant, is there. So Jesus died. And just like Moses was taken away, you know, nobody could see his body and all that. Jesus went up. And then it says, but you shall receive what? Verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everybody say territories. Territories. All over the world. But it's going to come because of the Holy Spirit, which is like a Joshua. Are you listening? It's going to come because there's going to be a distribution that is going to come. There's going to be an engracement and something, an empowerment that will come and that will position you in various places. So what we're talking about that is taking place this month is not going to take place by your natural ability. Are you listening? It's not going to take place because you are struggling. It's going to take place because you are submissive. It's going to take, when I say submissive, what I mean that you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean. Are you listening? That's the way it's going to take place. These things don't happen. You know, people who struggle the most, they don't get the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow. Are you listening? It is in rest that grace flows to get these things done. It is in rest that the grace flows to get it done. Hallelujah. I'm going to say one more or two things and then I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. So, and I wanted to tell you that the grace, this thing that I'm talking about, this taking of territories, is not going to be by your personal ability. If you want to do it by your personal ability, no, it's not going to work. It's going to be because you depend on the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it will come on you. It's because you depend on Him, an anointing, a grace. You just find yourself, circumstances just aligning and just begin to find yourself in various places. Be yielded. Everybody say be yielded. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you to do something, no matter how tiny it is, just yield and do it. Because it's leading you to a territory. He's the divider of the territories. He's the one that divides the territories. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5 verse 1. Talking about this rest thing, this anointing thing. They were about to take over, Joshua 5:1, they were about to take over Jordan. They're about to cross the Jordan. Jericho, right? They were about to take over Jericho. No, he said, Joshua 5:1, it was when the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaan heard that the Lord had dried up the water of the Jordan, from children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts was melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. So they had crossed the Jordan and then they were going to bring down Jericho, right? That's what you're going to be seeing soon. They're about to take over a territory. Can you imagine the instruction of God? You are about to go, supposed to go and fight Jericho, fight a war to take over somewhere, right? And the next instruction God tells you is that circumcise all the foreskins of the men before you go to war. You don't know what that means. A man that is going to war, adult person circumcised. It means that these are they are going to be going to war. Because circumcision is very painful. It's painful when you're a child, not to talk about adult man. And there was no anesthesia. So Moses was going to, and then they'll be, and you're supposed to be going to war. You know what God was trying to tell them? The circumcision, the people don't know what circumcision means because the New Testament circumcision is of the air. Circumcision is taking away your own, your dependence on self. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the symbol of it. It's like your dependence on yourself to get something done. It's like scraping it away. Amen? So that God can take over. That's what it symbolizes. So what God was trying to tell them is this. So Joshua made flint knife for himself. Flint knives. That must be a terrible one. And circumcised all the sons of Israel at the hill. They had to climb the hill. So the hill of the foreskins. Verse. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way that came out had not been circumcised. All the children of Israel were 40 years in the wilderness. All the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord of God. So all those people, they understood. When circumcision started, it was supposed to be a sign of dependence on God. Covenant. Everybody say covenant. That God is the one working with you. Do you get it? So all those other people that were about to go and take over Jericho, they did not understand the covenant. They had not the sign of that covenant to enact it then. They had not done it. The covenant is about dependence of God. It's about partnership with God. So they had to do that. And I'm sure when he was telling them to do it, he must have been telling them, the reason why we're doing it is because God spoke to Abraham, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your God. And he put his name beside the name of Abraham. He put his name beside the name of Jacob. You know, Israel. He started putting his name there. I'm going to assist you. So, this exercise, God was trying to tell the next generation that I'm going to help you take over this place. But first of all, strip off your dependence on your natural lineage. The covenant, God put the covenant in that place because that's where procreation took place. Now, depend on me. Everybody say, depend on me. So listen, you got to have to be circumcised in your heart this time around, which is all self-efforts. Scheming. I must say scheming. You know what I'm talking about? Jacob was like that. Of all the covenant people, he was the only one that he wanted to scheme the blessing, scheme his place, and they even name him cheat, schemer. You know people like that? What Ozul are we going to do this month again? Or Bozul or whatever. And then they are thinking, they are negotiating this, they're doing that. Everything is about them. Their finances, their lives, is all about them. Oh, I see some people, they even do some things in the name of purpose. Like, this is my purpose. But you know that it's not even based in God. It's just human schemings and imagination that is going nowhere. Because it's only what is born of God that overcomes the world. So instead of submitting to God and finding out what God wants them to do in life, they're just trying to scheme all kinds of things. Listen, if God calls you to do anything, you will not have to work it out by yourself. If you are struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling with it, go check the origin. Are you listening? I'm not saying you won't have to work hard. But I'm saying that, you know, you won't have to. God builds his will. He foots his bills. And he funds his assignments. So I'm not talking about this month. Hey, I just came up with this thing. I'm starting this, whatever. No, I'm talking about things that the Holy Spirit divided to you. And it's going to take dependence of God. God will first make you weak. That's what he was doing there. Before he makes you strong. God will first of all make you weak. Before he makes you strong. Because he said in 2 Corinthians 12 that my strength is made perfect where? In weakness. Anytime somebody is still very strong, I can do it! And they're talking. You know what I know? I know that that is not a broken person yet. Everybody that God called, the first confrontation, the first thing you are confronted with when you truly have a call of God, the first thing you are confronted with is your inability to carry it out. That drives you to God. So the first thing God will do is break you. And then he will make you. He will make you weak. And then he will make you strong. That's what circumcision is. It makes you weak, and then it makes you strong. He said, when someone is drowning, there are lifeguards that stay by the ocean to watch. When the person is struggling, they said the lifeguard will stay away. They'll be treading the waters, staying away. Because if you go and meet them when they are struggling, they will pull you down too. And they will hold you down, and you will drown with them. So when the person is tired, then the lifeguard will come. Carry and take the person away. That's the way God works. That's where the Holy Spirit works. When you are still struggling. So what are we going to do now? How are we going to pay this bill? So this ministry, my calling. You know, I mean, even sometimes calling can become a selfish thing. Notice that one of the things you hardly ever hear from me is the word my ministry, my calling, my dad. I know what it means. I magnify my office, you understand? But sometimes you are so consumed with it that you don't even know that your calling is actually about other people. Every calling is to sustain other people's callings. It's not to aggrandize any individual. So and some people say, you know, because I need to focus on my calling, that is why I cannot do anything in church anymore. I just laughed. I said, no, you don't even have a calling. Because you don't even understand your calling. Eh? You don't know that your calling is like the eye said, because of my folk, I have to listen. Because I have to see. Therefore, I cannot see for the body anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand that you are placed in a body and your calling is supposed to enhance other people. The first thing is to realize that your calling is not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. Anything that takes you out from interdependence with the body is taking you out to destroy you. Are you following me, guys? Oh, wow. This is a nice message, though. Man, It must be the trip, you know. I will rather so that the power of Christ may rest on me. So God makes you weak first. All right, let me round up, give you the last point I want to give you today. So you got to ever say rest. Say rest in grace this month. And let God give you the wisdom. Somebody say, God, give me the wisdom. Listen, if something does not work out, if you have tried this so many times and it does not work out, sit down. It's probably the devil not blocking you. Are you listening? Maybe God is the one blocking you. Maybe God is the one that is telling you, just take some time. Maybe it's not yet the time. Or maybe there's a different permutation. There's a different way this thing is supposed to go. Instead of you trying to struggle and binding on the devil, calling everybody to bind, hey, bind. You can bind the devil, but you can't bind God. Amen. Just relax. If God cannot take care of you in his kingdom, I'll boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So it's by grace, not by personal abilities. Amen. So finally, so these territories, I see it that we're going to be taking. These territories are in various areas. In various areas. And each, there's one that has been marked out for every one of us. Your territory was defined before you were born. Everybody say, my territory was defined before I was born. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. And what was he supposed to do as a prophet to the nation? Verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10. I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. So before Jeremiah was born, God ordained him to be somebody who would throw down things, build things, and establish territories. I want to announce to you that every one of us here, before we were born, there was something given to us to do. It predates you. That's why you should be able to relax in God to find it. There's a territory. There's a purpose for your life. You have a place in the kingdom. Your purpose is to secure this territory. Someone say, my purpose is to secure it. That's your purpose. Your purpose is to secure this territory, the one, your own. When you secure it, then all of us will have, you know, if one of us, each of us secure, then we'll have secured the full territory. There's a place for you. There's a portion for you in this city. If God moved you to this city, there is a portion for you in this city. Can I get some joy in the house? There is a house for you in this city. And for some people, there are houses for you in this city. There are professions in this city that God, there's a profession in this city that God wants you to engage in. And God wants you to reach the top there. God wants to be part of, first of all, start with the top 10% and then reach to the top 1%. Are you listening? That's my goal as a pastor. I told God, I said, I'm going to, you know, when we started this church, I said, this is my goal. You guys don't get it. I asked God for 10% of this city. Everybody say 10%. It's going to be, you know, something that will take place over years and years, and something that will take place even transgenerationally. But I have asked God, and that covenant, the people who take over, who continue this thing, when I am gone, if Jesus tarries, they will still be working in that covenant. Are you listening? 10% of this city. I see lines of businesses opening. Now listen, I'm prophesying over you right now. I see new lines of businesses opening. You will be one of the decision makers in this city. You see, every city has a gate where the elders are gathered. Listen, when I started pastoring, one day I was praying. The Holy Spirit said, let me show you, you know, because I am in my territory in the kingdom is the church territory. I will say church territory. So, I mean, the church arena, that's my sphere of influence. So, many things I'll be doing will be done from the church arena, right? So, I was praying and the Holy Spirit said, let me show you the key to this city. And he gave me, the first thing he said, if you want to your calling to influence this city, he said, there are people, there are some elders, some places where, around this city, where the influence is coming from. He said, the first one is Moody. He said, one is Moody. Then he gave me three other ones. And he said, this is what you need to do. Get yourself there. So when you get yourself there, you will be in the gate. And then you will start making decisions for the city. So that is the beginning of when, as a pastor, from whatever, I started making all those things. Now, it's opening up things all around this city. Listen, when they want to send somebody to come and start churches or do anything in this place, they send me an email. Say, Greg, can you meet with so-and-so? These are big churches in the suburbs or whatever. Greg, can you meet so-and-so? They are planning to do something. Please help them. So I take them to dinner and all. I say, welcome to our community. Do all that. Take them around, show them different ones. So I get all those kind of emails. When they want to do anything, like something new, they will send me an email. Now I pass it around. I pass them to peace and, you know, people that work in the work. I just pass it out to them right now. I say, no, this is what is going on. It's not happening to all pastors. Are you listening? Brother Fred, is that happening to all the pastors? You are working in that grace now too. Because I see the same thing happening. You know? It's been on Moody Radio twice or whatever. You understand? They called you again. Exactly. So, are you listening to me? There are strategies to take. Pastor Olumide is working in it. There are strategies to taking territories. There's a gate to every city. Now, I talk church because we are in the church arena. There is a territory to be taken in the area of government. Are you listening? Because you can stay outside and be criticizing government, but you can go and be government and bring the influence of this, of the kingdom there. Come on, say amen. And I've been working with Amara, even though she's late today. I'm not happy that she's late, but it's her birthday yesterday, so I will. But I've been working with her regarding the west side and all that. And I see that she's somebody who's walking the gate. She's in the gate. She's having discussions there. She's having newspaper articles. Didn't you position yourself for it? Right? You went there. You positioned yourself. You planned it. You did all that and positioned yourself. Now you are influencing people. They are converting buildings, like huge buildings. They are putting baseball facilities, I mean, whatever. They are putting all kinds of things. I was in one of the meetings she had, you know, earlier, last week or so, with, you know, the people she's working with. They are planning this one, taking over building, abandoning, doing all that. Come on! You can do such things. There is the entertainment area. There is the business arena. Are you listening? Family, the homeless, the shelters, the artwork, the health care fields. There are territories to be possessed. There are territories to be possessed. There's a portion for you, I'm telling you, there's a portion for you in this city. There's a portion for you, and I want you to take your portion. Because if you take your portion, remember what I read to you about from Joshua? When you take your portion, then that's when I can rest. Are you listening? He said, don't rest until you fight with your brothers to take theirs first. It's when you take yours, then I can go and rest and say, at last. But if you are not taking your portion, I can't rest. I have to be bugging you. Amen. We have to be praying. You have to take it. This is not a church where the pastor is fighting you and say, somebody came to meet me. He said, he told his pastor that he wanted to start a blog. This is a pastor in Canada, of all places. He said, I want to start a blog. And the pastor says, you know something? I don't understand what's going on in the church anymore. I'm sorry. Because I don't understand that kind of a system. He said, I want to start blog. Remember, I want to start blog. And the pastor said, no. You can't do that. You have to be submissive. I'm telling you that you have to be submissive. I'm like, when they were telling me, I opened my eyes, is that happening? Because I'm so foreign to that. Amen. I even want to flog people to start a blog. It rhymes. Flog them to what? To blog. somebody tells you they want to start a blog, and you're telling them, you calm down. God help you that you sit down in the church and don't do anything. God help you that you don't do anything. This month, after this month, God help you. God help you that you don't do anything. After all this message and this prayer, all the prayer I've been praying, I will flog you in spirit, in the spirit. Oh, all right. We have some other things to do. So, but read this verse. But let's stand up and read it. So, your territory. What I want to do this month is to help you stake your claim. Everybody says, stake my claim. I want to help you stake your claim. Because you got to, first of all, see it. Genesis 14 verse 3. Everybody says, see it first. 14 verse. Let's rise up as we read together. Genesis 14 verse 13. Genesis 14 verse 13. The first thing that got to happen. Yes, we're going to do everything. We have a bunch of things to do. You guys will have to be, I'm sorry I took your time, but there are some things we've got to do today. Genesis 14 verse 13. I'm missing it. 14 verse something there. Is it 15 verse 30? Where he says, look northward, southward. It's around that place. You know, God told him, say, look upward, southward, all the land that you see, I will give to you. Bible study people, please let me find it. It's around that ballpark. Or computer people, find it for me. You know, sometimes when you're preparing a message, the word will just come to you that use this verse. And sometimes I miss it. You know, like, I think it's around that corner. Lift up! Escort! What's going on? He said, lift up your eyes, look northward, southward, this will pass on up. You know, find this thing for me. Oh, it's 13. See, I told you, it's around the corner. 14, 15. So go to verse 14. So it's 13, 14, not 14, 13. You see? It's still was a dyslexic, you know. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lord has separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Everybody, lift up your eyes. Lift your eyes. Look from here. You see, where you are is not what matters. You get it? We're in different places. It's not where you are. David, it's not where you are now that matters. It's where you are going. Are you listening? Many times we look at the place where we are. That's what we do. We look at where we are. Right? Boy, we're looking around at the way where we are. Ah, look, I don't have this money. Ah, I don't have these people. Ah, I don't think I can ever do it. I'm black. I have an accent like my own, you know. I'm not married. And then when you're married, say, I'm married. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm looking for a job. I'm too busy. Somebody said, you always have an excuse until one day you will say, I'm too dead. So, wherever you are, don't allow any excuse. Amen. Lift your eyes. My dear brothers and sisters, my eyes are not here. My eyes are not here. My eyes are all over the 77 community areas of this city, the suburbs. My eyes are in the future. I see the children. My eyes are in the nations of Africa. My eyes are around the world. My eyes are with books all around the world. With media all around the world, with impact, bringing people. My eyes see leading light people, leading light network, with people who have come. I see them all over the nations of the world, with businesses, with ministries, with churches. That's where my eyes are. So that's why when somebody is pointing at something, you know, that is around and all that. I believe I'm a good manager. My wife will tell you, I'm a good manager. I always try to manage whatever God has given me the best. That's when I fight people, if it's been managed, because I know that you can never live where you are if you don't manage what you have. Right? You manage what you have well. God opens new ones to you. If you leave what you are and your eyes are just in the clouds, that's foolishness. Amen. So I try to manage what is current. I try to do the best, use it well. But my eyes are not on these things. My eyes are elsewhere. That's what God was telling Abraham. He said, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward. Everybody say north side, south side, east side, and west side, the best side. For all the land that I see. Is that what he said? Did he say I see? You. Everybody say you. So it's not what God is seeing concerning you that matters. It's what you are seeing in concerning yourself. It's what you are seeing based on what God is seeing concerning you that matters. What do you see, Homo? What do you see? Do you see yourself as, you know, pastor or more of discipleship? You know? Is it billionaire? Very good. So we say pastor more, the billionaire, the philanthropist, the soul winner. What do you see, David? What do you see? Vision is the beginning of taking territories. Vision is the beginning of taking territory. You must be a dreamer. You must be a dreamer. All the people that took territories in the kingdom, example is Joseph. He was a dreamer and he ended up controlling. He said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh, and everything in Egypt is subject to me. Only Pharaoh is above me. He was a ruler of nations. And he said, God put me there to save people. But he first of all dreamt it. He saw the moon and the stars. My friends, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? Don't change yourself. The blessing of Abraham that you have is a conquering blessing. The same blessing was the one that came upon Abraham that made him a nation, that caused him to conquer. It was the one that came upon Isaac that made him to take over until the Philistines started envying him. It's the same one that came upon Joseph. The same one that came upon Joseph. The same one that came upon the people in the Acts of the Apostles, that they said of them that these people who have turned the world upside down have come. We are here to turn this city upside down. Corruption, we turn it upside down and it becomes honesty. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? You know, when they talk about buildings, they say turn around. A building that is terrible and all that, you turn it around. Amen? We are here to turn properties around. To turn it around. To build new things. And to take things that have been downtrodden and turn them around. That's the anointing that is upon us. That's why we are City Light. We are here to turn violence into peace. To turn broken down families into old families. To change the destinies of people. That's why we are here. You are here to turn things around. God, Frank, God didn't just bring you and your wife here. You know, you know, if you were in Benin, you're speaking French, you know, it's more comfortable for you, right? But here you have to learn English. Blandine has to learn English. She has to do all that. There's a reason why God brought you here. You are here to take over. You are here to what? Somebody say, we are here to take over. There's no limitation. There's no limitation. There's no limitation. So see it. God says, for the land you see, I will give you and your descendants. So not just you, but you and your children. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land. Everybody say, walk through the land. You see, when I'm driving through the city of Chicago, I don't drive around this place like an immigrant, a lost immigrant, or a lost migrant. Even when I'm talking to people in the city, you understand? I have all kinds of meetings everywhere. When I'm talking to them, I'm not talking like a lost migrant. I'm talking like a takeover person. Amen. I was sent here by God. God took me from where I was to be a blessing to you. Amen. I was sent here. I got something to offer. You have something to offer me, but I've got something to offer. That's the way I walk around this city. I drive around as if it's my territory. So this one now, this one now, this children will do this, this one will do this one, this one will do that one. Okay, God, we're going to pray and get this one done. That's where you start thinking. Start walking around the businesses. Start walking around as a takeover person. Is somebody getting stirred up this morning? Or am I just wasting my breath? You can, there's, and I'm telling you, the good thing about this is that there is grace for it. Everybody say grace for it. God said, walk through the land, through his length and his width. I will give it to you. So my first instruction for you for this month on our theme, Purpose Power, is this. I want you to take some time to think about the area, the territory that God is giving you in the different spheres. I'll be sharing more about it next week. And I want you to begin to walk through that territory in your mind. Did you get that? Start what? Walk through it in your mind. Don't shortchange yourself. Just walk through it. Just think about it. Wow. I just see myself doing this. I see myself doing this. I walk through it and say, God, I'm depending on you to get this done. That is the beginning of our journey for this month. Stake your claim. Everybody say, stake your claim to that place that God has given you, to that territory that God has given you. And I believe that the anointing of God will work for you and will work with you. Somebody say, amen.